It's time for the Las Vegas Sports Line. Brought to you by the Westgate Las Vegas, home of the world's largest race and sports book and the Super Contest.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. I'm Dave Koch, and Wes Reynolds is here, as he is every Tuesday and Wednesday. Jared Justice, our producer, he's here almost every day. Hope he had a nice holiday yesterday.
They work, Jared, like a dog here at ESPN 1100.
Most dogs don't work that hard. No, I've noticed that. I mean, there are...
I'm trying to put the producer over
and,
here.
You know, I've had dogs, and none of them work particularly hard. They just laid around for the most part. So I don't know that that's... working someone like a dog is not, to me, very difficult. Working someone like oxen, that would be different.
Yes.
They don't. I don't think oxen have much leisure time. Anyway, that's Wes Reynolds. I'm Dave Koch, and Jared Justice, the producer. Today, it's Jeff Sherman Day because it's Superbook USA Day. So we'll talk to Jeff in a little bit. And NHL Tips is a company out of Canada, and they provide NHL tips. They don't charge anything. You can be a slight supporter. We'll talk about that later on. John and Derek from NHL Tips, they're really good.
They're very good.
They know their stuff. And I don't relish nights when I end up on the opposite side of one of their plays. So we'll talk about... hockey with John later on in the show. No more unbeaten teams in the NFL. There will be no 16-0. The 49ers go down in overtime to the Seahawks. Seattle overcoming an early 10-0 deficit. And I didn't see anything that would indicate to me that Russell Wilson took a step backward in the MVP race. He is right now, I think, the clear-cut leader for MVP and looked every bit the part last night against a terrific San Francisco defense.
Yeah, I would say Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers are kind of the top three in whatever order you want to put it in. Russell Wilson probably number one. And that game last night, I mean, a bad beat on the under, which I, of course, had. A lot of defensive touchdowns and a lot of offensive linemen on both sides getting their butts kicked, especially poor, I hate to single him out because he's had a great career, but Joe Staley. Absolute turnstile last night. Returned from injury, first game back, and had a rough return dealing with Jadeveon Clowney.
And, you know, look, I mean, this is the one thing that people are going to talk about with the 49ers is, yeah, heck of a team, no question about that. But Jimmy G, maybe not the strongest point on the team.
No, that's why I think Kyle Shanahan likes to establish that rushing attack early and often and putting the fullback in motion and really using a lot of different types of formations. But that's the knock on Jimmy G is if he's got to win the game for you, can he do it? And he really hasn't shown that.
No, and right now I would say that he is – the experience factor is still a factor.
Right.
He hasn't played in that many big games, and I think that the tools are there for him to get better. There's nothing he's bad at.
No.
He's fairly mobile. He's got a good arm. He's reasonably accurate. One of the interceptions last night was not – ball should have been caught, as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a great pass, but it was certainly a catchable ball. And the 49ers had some bad luck in the game, but Seattle took advantage of it. And the Seahawks, for all their apparent weaknesses, have only two losses, and they are right in the thick of things to not only make the playoffs but – potentially end up with the home field in the NFC playoffs. They're very much in that hunt. And I can tell you this, I'm pretty sure no NFC team wants to have to go through Seattle at Seattle.
Not at all.
Come postseason.
Yeah, them and New Orleans, probably the top two home field advantages in the NFC. And I look at Seattle, and they just keep winning, even though I'm looking for a spot to go against them. I didn't do it last night because they're against an 8-0 team that's leading their division, and you don't have an opportunity this week because they're playing the bye week. So no opportunity to fade them there. Looking at the 49ers, predictably, the Arizona's taking money. This was 13.5 before the Monday night game went off, and now down to about 11.5. So kind of that bubble burst theory, once the O goes from the record, next time out, kind of tough to get up for, and Arizona taking the money against the Niners.
UNLV running Rebels, college basketball talk. Rebels actually, quite frankly, didn't get much attention in this game Saturday against Kansas State, one of the better teams around. Rebels take them to overtime before falling. Good performance by UNLV. They're going to have to establish themselves with some good on-court play, I think, to generate the type of attention they want around town. Let's face it, UNLV is, and we knew this was coming, with the Golden Knights and the Raiders coming, and just the fact that UNLV basketball hasn't been very good in recent years, They've kind of slid down the pecking order as far as attention locally goes. But I like this team. I think, despite the fact this will not be a great team this year, but I think you've got a coach now that is going to put the pieces in place for the Rebels to become solid contenders in the Mountain West within a year or two. I think by next year. Tonight, UNLV steps out of conference. They head to Berkeley to face the Golden Bears of California. It's a winnable game. California is a small favorite, and we'll see what the Rebels can bring to the dance tonight.
Yeah, I ended up pushing. I took a bad number with them on Saturday, took +4 and got a push.
They played well.
Seemed like they had Kansas State beat most of the game. Kansas State makes a comeback, gets out ahead and wins 60-56 in overtime. But, yeah, I think this team, they'll be semi-competitive. I don't expect them to win, like, just 9 or 10 games, but they're not a contender in the league this year. But once Otzelberger gets his transfers and gets his recruits in, I think that there's some pieces in play for them to be competitive. You got two kids that are junior starters that'll be senior starters next year in Hardy and Mbake Diong, if I pronounce that right. Yeah, and so I think brighter days are on the horizon for UNLV. It's just going to take a little time and a little patience from the fan base.
Yeah, I do think that this is a good thing. I'm not hearing wild expectations from the locals like we've heard a few times in recent years where it's like, hey, they can't miss. This is the Elite Eight. No.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Slow your roll.
I think the goal this year, I would say if they choose to pay to play, CBI or CIT.
Right.
I don't think they're an NIT team.
Right. I think somewhere 17, 18 wins would be relatively reasonable.
And
for
I would. And this year, I to be honest, with the first-year coach, and a lot of new talent, if you can get the extra games, I'd actually pay. Those are pay-to-play events at the end of the year. But if the Rebels can qualify, I would pay to play. Not to win the tournament as much as get more experience on the court. It'll set them up for next year.
And extra practice time is never a bad thing with a young and new team.
Jeff Sherman joins us on Tuesdays from Superbook USA. Always a ton of stuff to talk about with Jeff. What's going on, Jeff? How are you?
Oh, excellent. How's it going, guys?
Very good. You can follow Jeff Sherman on Twitter at Golf Odds. So let's get the latest on the Super Contest with some spectacular numbers being put up. But going into this week, the leaders had come off a bad week, and things had gotten a little more congested at the top. What took place this week?
Yeah, Tuco regained their lead. They were the ones that had that tremendous start where they were shooting 90% at the start of the season. So they retook the lead at 35-14-1, leading with 35.5 points. At 71.4%, not quite 90, but still exceptional.
But it looks like it might actually be a lower winning percentage this year than last year. It's possible that we might not get a 70% of this year.
Yeah, you know, it's been a struggle recently for a lot of the people in the contest, and even the consensus. It went 1-3-1 this week, and it's 21-27-2 overall. So it's been a tough NFL season, and it's reflective in the bookmaking too, because it's been a very good one for the books.
Well, talk about some futures, because did we get any changes after last night as the 49ers, the last of the unbeatens to go down in Seattle with an impressive win at San Francisco? Anything changing yet with the odds to win it all?
Yeah, pretty much those teams that you talked about. Seattle went from 30-1 to 20-1. We had the Niners at 9-2. We raised them up to 7-1 and had the Saints at 6-1 and lowered the Saints back at 9-2. So the Saints and 49ers pretty much switched positions in our future pool.
Jeff, speaking of futures, let's turn over to the college ranks really quickly. Heisman Trophy update as Joe Burrow gets the better of Tua Tagovailoa on Saturday.
And Tua might not play the next couple weeks. I think that's very possible.
Right. So now this seems to be, it would seem to be that Burrow is the clear favorite. Trying to find any value down the board is tough this season. Where are you guys currently with about the top three or four choices, Jeff?
Yeah, we have Joe Burrow at 1-10. Now, he opened at 200-1 before the season. Yeah,
wow.
And we actually have some tickets on him at 200-1, a few of them for $100 each, one ticket for $150. So there's some nice paydays sitting on him, and it's why he's currently 1-10. You know, the one thing that you have to remember about this, too, gaming has us close this out 2 weeks prior to the last game of the season. So this will come down this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. So if you want to bet Heisman futures, You got to do it before this Saturday morning.
And looking at this, I have my SuperBook USA app open on my phone. And with Joe Burrow, you got to scroll down a little bit. I think he was the 38th player listed because there's rotation numbers on all the players. And predictably, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields were the top four. You got to scroll down to find Joe Burrow at minus $1,000. $1,000 to win $100 if you're so interested in Burrow. Any chance of anybody from the outside you think maybe stealing this award, maybe Fields or Hurts, Jeff, or you think this is pretty much in the books for Joe Burrow?
We think it's pretty much in the books, but we do have Hurts at 10-1 and Fields at 8-1 if you're looking for an outsider. But it would take a lot these last few weeks for him to really have some poor performances to let this slip out of his hands.
And speaking of college futures, CFP rankings, the second week or the second edition will come out tonight. Looking at your board, Jeff, and you've got LSU and Ohio State basically as co-favorites, and that's kind of in my personal rankings. They're like 1A and 1B, and you've got them at 2-1.
Yeah, we have them each at 2-1, followed by Clemson 7-2, and obviously raised Alabama up, but not too far at 6-1. You know, there's a chance if they were to run the table that they can get in this, and we don't want to be too overreactive to it. So there's still, the way it's shaping up, it looks like it's going to be an excellent playoff. I mean,
yeah.
Clemson, Ohio State, LSU, those type of teams, any one of them can win it on any day against each other.
And let's face it, we've got a couple of unbeatens that are down the list, but they're still unbeaten, so they can certainly, if they win out, get in, Minnesota and Baylor. Anybody taking long shot action on either of those teams?
No, they're actually not. You know, we have Minnesota 80-1, Baylor at 100-1, and it's pretty minimal. Everyone's just looking for the teams at the top, and this is a time of year where you see the larger wagers come in on them, such as LSU, Ohio State. We take some 4- or 5-figure bets on the short odds at this time of year.
NBA board tonight. Let's check out some of the games. And, well, we've got a national TV doubleheader, but let's begin with the Lakers and Suns, because when the Lakers are on, they're always at the top of the betting board.
Yeah, and Anthony Davis was he's probable tonight, but he's dealing with a shoulder issue, so there was some questionability to him playing, and the Lakers do have a back-to-back. They go home and play those Santa Cruz Warriors tomorrow night in L.A. But the Lakers are laying 3 tonight at Phoenix. They're coming off a loss against Toronto where they kind of they didn't put their best effort in that game, let's just say. And Phoenix, they've been playing great this season. They're 6-3.
Yeah.
They just come off a big win against Brooklyn. They've been playing some of the better teams tough. So this should be a really interesting game tonight.
So is this just an early season fluke? Because, I mean, you know, let's face it, the Suns weren't exactly looked upon as being a serious contender to make the playoffs by most people, I don't think.
I don't think it's a fluke because I think they shored up some needs. They got Ricky Rubio. They got Dario Saric in a trade. So they got some veterans in. The team was so young the last few years, and that's where we saw where they didn't have any productivity from the win column. It was just a young team. But now they got some veterans to go along with Devin Booker. Ayton's still not playing. He's got his 25-game suspension he's under, but when he gets back, you know, the team's got some talent, and they've shown they can be really competitive.
You know, the Western Conference, now that Golden State has come back to the pack and then some, it's still the better conference, I think, but it really looks like it's going to be a good race to see who gets in the playoffs. I mean, you got, what do you figure, maybe 11 teams in solid contention for the 8 spots?
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough this year, and you really can't afford to go on a losing streak in the Western Conference because there's a lot of teams that are surprising, like Minnesota, like Dallas, that are up there early in the season. Phoenix, as we've been talking about. A lot of teams that are struggling, too. Sacramento was one team that people thought was were going to take a step forward, and they haven't. They're dealing with injuries. As one of the games tonight, De'Aaron Fox is now out for 3 to 4 weeks, and they're already without Bagley, too, so... some teams are really experiencing some injuries early on in the season.
On to the golf course, and we have
let's do some more NBA.
Yeah, you want more NBA?
Yeah,
let's do more NBA.
We got to hit the doubleheader tonight.
Absolutely.
Because we
go
do
ahead.
Have an NBA TV doubleheader, Cavs and 76ers, and the aforementioned Kings hosting the Blazers. Let's talk about the Cavs and Sixers first. Obviously a big favorite here, but TV game, people are going to get involved.
Yeah, and the Sixers opened up an 11-point favorite, and it's down to 10 now, and Al Horford's going to sit this one out. We still have Ben Simmons questionable for this game, so you'll see a little bit of fluctuation whether he plays or not, but Cleveland's coming off a nice blowout win in New York. New York's struggling, but Cleveland's 4-5 to start the year, so they've actually been competitive, getting a healthy amount of points here, and Philadelphia just coming off a game against Charlotte where they struggled a little bit. They were down at halftime, came back to win the game, so... this should be an interesting matchup in itself.
You know, the public, I think, doesn't regard Ben Simmons as much. He hasn't lived up to billing, let's put it that way. From a power rating standpoint, what's the adjustment in the 76ers? What's his worth? Is it a point?
Yeah, it's about a point is which we'd move the line, whether he plays or not. So, he does mean something, and you don't see it in the point production column, but his defense is there, and he gets everyone involved, his assists and rebound numbers. So he's definitely important to what this team does.
And you mentioned the Kings. They will be shorthanded tonight. How's that impacting the point spread and the action in their game against Portland?
Well, on the overnight line, we had the Kings as a two-point favorite. Now with De'Aaron Fox out, it swung to Portland minus 1.5. And when you cross the pick line, it goes a little bit quicker, but definitely worth something. And Portland's been seeing the money now with Fox out. But Portland's off to a 4-6 start this year. They've been struggling themselves. Went to overtime their last game against the Atlanta Hawks, who they have been having a rough start to the season. So Portland, they're way below expectations at this point, but laying points on the road here against Sacramento.
Now over to the Lynx, and we will start with the European Tour event, the penultimate event to Dubai, which closes out the season next week over on the European Tour. This week, Nedbank Golf Challenge over at the Gary Player Country Club in South Africa, the course named after its designer and the greatest player all time in the history of that nation, Gary Player. And not a real, I guess, clear favorite. Louis Oosthuizen at the top of the board at 10-1 has had a lot of close calls here on this course. Very familiar with it. Hasn't been able to get in the winner's circle. But where are you seeing some action this week on terms of the futures board?
Just the one that you talked about, Louis Oosthuizen. I opened him at 10-1. He's down to 8-1, and he's been seeing some support. We have a limited field here, like we had on the PGA Tour recently. But there's 63 golfers this week at the Nedbank. And Tommy Fleetwood's right up there, Henrik Stenson. But so far, Oosthuizen's commanding the most betting support.
Go ahead.
And I usually don't like the chalky guy. I usually try to go a little bit down the board. But he's the guy you got to make the best case for, Oosthuizen.
But he's one of those guys who always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
2 weeks ago.
He just can't get through Sundays. He reminds me of Paul Casey in that regard. A guy he's not a guy I want outright. I'll take him in matchups, but I don't like him in outright.
2 weeks ago, he was in the final group, the WGC event in China with Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele. Finished two back, ended up finishing third. So this could be an event that sets up for him, but it is a little hard to back the chalk. But speaking of the other event, that would be the Mayakoba Golf Classic down in coastal Mexico at El Camaleon. I believe that's how you pronounce it, golf club. And really, no real clear favorite here. I saw when Jeff put the lines out to open, Matt Kuchar, Jason Day, Victor Hovland.
Yeah, Hovland's
triumvirate
ready.
Of favorites ready. At 18-1.
Yeah, and I've increased them due to lack of action. So we have all the golfers are starting out at 20-1 or higher, but taking some money elsewhere and throughout the pool. So a lot of the local guys have been getting some betting support. Abraham Answer's one of them. I opened him at 30-1. He's down to 25-1. Sebastian Munoz, 60-1. So some of the guys down south have been getting some support.
Well, let's talk Hovland for a second, because he might be the best of all the young guys, but he's now like basically the last one who hasn't hit the winner's circle yet. So is that a little pressure for him? I mean, he's constantly in contention, and he's going to break through, and once he starts winning, watch out. But getting that first one can be tough.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to see that pressure. He doesn't seem like the type of golfer to me that will. I think that win will show up. And, you know, just like you mentioned this week, he's at the top of the odds board this week and can play this type of track. So it won't surprise me anytime he does soon. And you're not going to find too good a value on him because of the expectations.
By the way, I wouldn't mind a rerun of what we saw this past weekend. I didn't even know what was going on. Jeff Davis sent me a message and said, you got to tune into this Turkish Airlines thing. You got a 6-man playoff here.
I woke up to a winner with that one. That was extra fun for me, having Tyrrell Hatton, who had to survive a 6-way playoff and had to have a miracle chip in just to really get into the playoff. But one interesting one, too, at Mayakoba this week, Kevin Kisner down the board at 40-1. Brooks Koepka is kind of 50-50 right now if he's going to go for the President's Cup. So that's going to force, if he doesn't go, Tiger Woods, Captain Tiger Woods, to make another selection. And I thought Kisner was kind of one of the near-miss guys that he didn't select for the captain's picks. Great match play player, really the two Kevins, him and Kevin Na. So Kevin Kisner maybe could make a big impression this week and potentially end up on that President's Cup team.
Yeah, the one thing against him, though, he really doesn't have any form on this course.
Right.
He's not coming in the greatest form, so it's going to take an extra push if he's going to crack through what his statistics show for this tournament.
Let's hit the soccer pitch. Did I phrase that correctly?
The pitch?
Yeah.
You're learning, Dave. You're becoming
worldly.
I
stole that.
You're becoming
somebody.
More worldly. Look at you.
The MLS is, we'll do a wrap-up there and then talk about some EPL futures in matches of interest coming up. What'd they get? I mean, 70,000 at Seattle? I mean, I saw part of it, and it was, you'd have thought it was a rock concert going on. The crowd was insane.
Yeah, it was, they had about 77,000 to sell out. I think they sold out in about an hour, and it was a slow starting game. It was 0-0 at the half, but Seattle ended up putting them away, winning 3-1. They had a 3-0 lead at that point until Jose Altidore scored late, but really wasn't threatening, and Seattle ended up winning for the second time in 4 years and second championship in the MLS.
What was the action like in that one? Because I know, and again, I don't know this sport, but I know some sharp guys, and I guess they won because they liked the over.
Yeah, we saw some support for the over. We also saw it for Seattle on the half goal line where they're about minus a half flat. They were a 220 favorite right in that range to win outright, but a lot of people just bet them on the half goal line. For the 90 minutes, which obviously didn't get to extra time, so it was an easier way to go that way.
So let's shift over to the EPL. Future odds are up. What's happening with those?
Well, a big shift this past week after Liverpool took care of Man City at home, and that was a huge game. Now, Liverpool has an 8-point lead over Chelsea and Leicester City, 9 points over Man City, so Liverpool's now a 1-3 favorite for the Premier League. Man City at a 13-5 or plus 260. I have Chelsea and Leicester each at 25-1. All other teams are 500-1 or higher, so it's really those four teams in contention.
And on Sunday when I said, man, this league looks over, I think Liverpool put this on ice where Manchester City, I think, really needed to win that match to stay in the race. And Liverpool supporter and fan John Murray scolded me as to not mush this. He is a Liverpool fan and says, oh, it's not over yet. It's not over. But, boy, looking at this form, it looks over.
It does look over. And, you know, I thought so when I was on VSiN a couple weeks ago and Paulie and Mitch asked me about it. And even before this match this past weekend, I thought Liverpool looked like they're in the driver's seat for the title and would win it this year. And after this past weekend, it really confirmed it. I don't see how Liverpool lets it slip up. They're too talented, too deep of a club.
What's looking good on the board this weekend?
Well, this weekend, I mean, the interesting thing coming up tomorrow is the Vegas Knights. They return home from a road trip, which they really underperformed
in. Yeah, they're not playing well right now.
Yeah, they're not playing good at all. I mean, if you look at their overall record, I mean, they're under 500 if you count their overtime losses, right in the middle of the pack in the Pacific Division, which was supposed to be a division that they could handle. Right now, we updated our division odds and are plus 110, so it's the first time that they've been plus money for the division, but they get the Blackhawks, who I believe they're 7-0 against in their short history. So hopefully this is a remedy for them, but they really need to shore up the third period.
Well, and look, the neutral and defensive zone turnovers have been really kind of epidemic. And you know, I got to tell you, this is just my perception. When Subban's in goal, they play really conservative hockey. I don't think they have the confidence in him. And quite frankly, that was a bad goal he let in Detroit to lose the game in the last minute. He had a clear look at it, and it was right under the arm. You just can't let in that goal. I know Mantha got it, and Mantha's a really good goal scorer, but I don't know what they're going to do about this backup goalie situation, because you need to get somebody who can play 20 games anyway, maybe 25. And I have my doubts that the coaching staff has the confidence in any of the potential backups right now, which puts a tremendous burden on Fleury.
It does, and you know, from my perspective, I think Subban's been playing great when he's been in there. He's had a couple hiccups, but you're right about them letting up, and that was a terrible loss in Detroit.
Oh, it was awful.
To lose it with 30 seconds left, I mean, not even get the point in overtime, and you know, getting 3 points out of eight on the road trip instead of a possible five or even four. But, you know, it stemmed even before that when Fleury was in net, where they had some two-goal leads at home, lost in overtime in those games. And it's just a third period issue right now where they're just laxing a bit and not taking care of business. And that's the biggest issue. So they need to really shore that up going forward.
I think, look, I'm one who believes when things are going badly, you can do mild shakeups. And one that I would do, he's just not producing. Brandon Peary's on this roster to score. He's not going to win any awards with his defense. He's not getting any production right now. And, you know, healthy scratching him to me isn't an answer. I'm sending him back to Chicago and bringing somebody up who can maybe light a spark and play some defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the two names that we throw around here that we think should be out of the lineup are Peary and Derek Englund. Englund's, you know, he's just at the end of his career, yep. And it's just, it looks like, you know, it's just not time to be out there at this point. So, you know, we'll just have to see which way they go on this. But, you know, like I said, they get Chicago, and usually the first game back from a long road trip's a tough one anyway. But the Knights are a 220 favorite tomorrow with Chicago plus 200. So they're still power rated extremely high, even though they're about a 500 record.
You know, it's funny. The fourth line guy, who was such a glue guy on this team, they really miss Belmar. I mean, his absence is being felt.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he led the culture in that locker room the way that he was. You know, they had a few losses this year. We knew there were some changes in the offseason, and, you know, that could have a bigger effect than people thought it might have, and we're seeing the results on the ice.
Well, tonight, there's no Golden Knights tonight, but they're in action tomorrow. If you can't make the game, one of the best places in town to stop by and watch the game, Superbook USA. Lots of good stuff to do besides watching the sports and betting on them at Superbook USA as well. There's amusements for everybody.
Oh, there's no doubt. The property's just jumping right now. We have some excellent restaurants here and things to do in the book, a bar right in the back of the book. And if you haven't been down here to check out the big screens, it'll overwhelm you. It's like Times Square times two in here. So it's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a blast down there. And don't forget, if you haven't installed or if you haven't downloaded the mobile app and got an account, it's just loaded with goodies that you're not going to find anyplace else. Take the 5-10 minutes or so, get signed up, and you'll be in action just like the pros.
Yeah, that's what you have to do is get the app, look through everything that we have. One of the things that we're going to get up today is, will the Raiders make the playoffs? We're going to reopen that proposition just because of how they're sitting and how they're getting close to moving here. So we know there's interest in that, and we're going to put a price up on that this afternoon. And if you have the app, you can check it out and bet within a few seconds of taking a look at the number.
And to get constantly updated odds and futures and things like that, make sure and follow Jeff Sherman on Twitter at Golf Odds. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
When we come back, we'll talk some hockey with the guys north of the border, John and Derek from NHL Tips next.
Follow us on Twitter at TheLV Sportsline and at ESPN Las Vegas.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
Yeah, Thomas will take care of you for sure. Go with the entire staff at Joe's. Make a reservation at 702-792-9222. Follow Joe's on Twitter at Joe's Vegas and get set for one of the best dining experiences you will have in Las Vegas or any place else at Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Ralph Michaels from Wager Talk provides our angles of the day, and we have one in college basketball tonight involving the Minnesota Golden Gophers. When they've been on the road as an underdog, as is the case tonight at Butler, 0-12-1, well, we'll call it 12-0-1 under the last 13 times Minnesota's been in that role. So if you like to play on streaks, that's a pretty good one. Under in the Minnesota Butler game from Ralph Michaels, who you can follow on Twitter at Cal Sports. Wes and myself are both followers of this account on Twitter, and with good reason. This is some of the better hockey information you're going to find. Their website is outstanding. Two guys north of the border, John and Derek, run the show at NHL Tips. Their website is nhltips.ca. And John joins us right now. What's going on, John? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good. And we've actually been talking quite a bit of hockey today, specifically the Golden Knights, which obviously is the main attraction around here. So let's talk about that for a moment. They're not playing tonight, and they have not been playing well any night recently. How does that impact? You know, look, hockey's like any other sport. You have to factor current form into things. Their roster's really strong. Their present form isn't. So when you're looking at the Golden Knights and sizing them up for tomorrow night as an example against Chicago or in future games, how much of the stress is on current form as opposed to what their form is supposed to be like?
Yeah, no, we put a lot of weight in current form, maybe more than most other cappers do. And one thing that's really struck me about the Knights this year, and it did at times last year too, was their lack of their inability to generate much offense on the road, putting the puck in the net. They played a lot more defensive style games on the road and just having trouble finishing, and it's just kind of making things tough right now. And I don't think they're playing with very much offensive confidence at the moment.
No, that's what we were talking about, particularly when they had the backup goalie in net. I mean, they were just overly conservative, I thought, against the Red Wings in a game where they might have been able to put Detroit in the ropes and then let them back in the game and a bad third goal, and they end up getting nothing out of that game. So some red flags with this hockey team right now.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not leaving themselves much margin for error, are they?
No, definitely not. Who's surprising you and who's disappointing you this year in the NHL to this point? We're about a quarter of a way through the season, so some early opinions, and they could change, but talk about some teams that have been a pleasant surprise.
Sure. Well, I think you got to start with the Oilers. You know, being near the top of the West, if not at the top of the West, I haven't actually checked the standings today to see exactly where they are, but obviously a hot start, new coach with Tippett, and defense is his MO. It always has been, and it's no surprise that they're playing a lot better defensively, keeping the puck out of their net, and they're certainly top-heavy with McDavid and Dreisaitl at the top. Yeah. I think they're both over 30 points, and no one else has 14, so you worry a little bit there about maybe an injury kind of derailing them, but good power play, and if they're keeping the puck out of their net, which they've struggled to do the last few years, you know, this might be sustainable.
Let's get to one of the games tonight, and we'll stop at the top of the betting order with the Florida Panthers at the Boston Bruins. Look, Bruins were out like gangbusters, but they've lost the last two. They lost to the Red Wings, the hapless Red Wings.
That was not a good performance.
No, and then did make a nice comeback against Philadelphia, and eventually, I believe, lost in the extra period in the shootout. So Bruins taking on Florida Panthers tonight. A little bit of money is shown for Florida. What's your read on this one, John?
Yeah, the money on Florida doesn't surprise me at all, even though they're playing 4-6 tonight. But I think typically they've been decent in this kind of situation. And prior to this 4-6, they were off for 4 days. So they're not exactly running on fumes. They've quietly got points in 12 of 14 games, so they're pretty much in the game every night, and they're scoring a lot of goals. That's actually something that we're backing tonight, is the Panthers to score. It's a team total, something that we tend to play quite a few of. We got the Panthers team total over 2.5. We got -125 earlier. I think it's -130 now.
We'll speak with John from NHL Tips, along with Derek there, the pair that puts together the analysis each and every day. And before we get to another game, talk about the website and how people can check out the action that's there.
Yeah, thanks, Dave, for that opportunity. So the website, I mean, we didn't really envision this in being some sort of tout service. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I think, you know, if you're putting out good information and people are making money off of it, there's value in that, and there's nothing wrong with being compensated for it. But it started off, we just kind of noticed, we do a lot of notes collaboratively and independently that we're just kind of going in the trash every day, and we thought, you know, people may want to see all the stuff that we're kind of looking at when breaking down games. So we, 3 days a week, the busiest nights of the season or of the week in the NHL, so that's Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, we come out with a site post kind of breaking down every game and giving opinions. And then if people want to support the site, which we definitely appreciate because a lot of time goes into it, we're rewarding them with just like our personal betting cards. So we'll provide opinions on every game if we have one, and including our picks in there. But if you want to know who we're on, then people have the opportunity to support the site. It'll become members and tail us if they want.
The national TV game tonight here in the States on NBCSN is the Pittsburgh Penguins and the New York Rangers. And Pittsburgh already without Chris Letang and Hornqvist. Now tonight going to be out without Sidney Crosby, but the bettors don't seem to care, as this Rangers team has been erratic, to say the least. And Pittsburgh Penguins taking the money big time tonight.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me either. One thing about Pittsburgh, if you've followed them for years, is whether it's Crosby that goes down or Malkin goes down, they tend to respond pretty well.
Yeah.
And that's something that that's an angle that we like to back too. Is, you know, when a superstar goes down, it's like this psychological thing that everyone else kind of thinks that they need to step their games up. And that might sound cliche, but I think you get a good focused effort from Pittsburgh tonight. They're not exactly firing on all cylinders right now. They've been falling behind. I think 2-0, at least 2-0 in the last three games, and I think it was 3-0 in Boston before they rallied and took the lead before losing. So we'd like them to bring a good effort tonight. The Rangers are scoring goals, and there's been a lot of goals, actually, in the recent meetings between these teams. So we're back in Pittsburgh to score some goals again tonight, too, rather than back in the 140, minus 140 on the road. We're taking a shot at a plus price over 3.5 goals with Pittsburgh.
John, I want to throw a game at you that I'm probably going to get involved with tonight. I haven't played it yet because I like to wait for the Goldies to be confirmed. But the Nashville Predators on the road tonight, coming out of a game at San Jose where they lost a shootout. But if you watch the game, they were not the better team on the ice in that game. And in fact, outside of that 5-goal second period at Detroit last week, they're not playing good hockey at all. Tonight, they're at Vancouver against this energized Canucks team. What I'm going to do here, Vancouver's been a much better first-period team than Nashville has. I'm going to split my bet. I'm going to take the Canucks first period and also Canucks full game at small plus money, the last I checked. I think I've got the more energized team. I can't put my finger on why this is happening with Nashville, but they're kind of looking like last year's team, which looked great on paper and never really put it together on the ice. Maybe they're just overrated.
Yeah, funny that you alluded to last year, because that's something that we noticed last year too. And actually, down the stretch, I think it kind of flew under the radar a bit, but just how bad they were in the second half of the year, particularly on the road, I believe it was. They might have been winning games, but they were pulling them out by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
in relying on overtime and stuff. We backed the Predators on Saturday night, expecting a big bounce-back effort after the blowout, embarrassing loss in Colorado.
I was on them as well.
And, yeah.
And they were. And
I agree with you.
Forget the final score.
It
was a shootout. They got killed in that game.
Mm-hmm. You would have expected a better effort. We thought there'd be some goals from Nashville. You could have gone either way there, maybe playing the Sharks under, and they haven't. I mean, the Sharks obviously only scored one goal before the shootout, but the Sharks did have some chances. So you wonder, I mean, Laviolette's been there a while. Mm-hmm. Can he get their attention every time that he wants to? You start to wonder about that, especially after last year's early exit from the playoffs.
John, I hesitate to call this team a surprise, considering they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, but the St. Louis Blues, without Tarasenko, 12-3-3 to start out the season, absolutely no hangover for this bunch, as they've really, I think, they started out a little sluggish the first week or two, but they have been on fire. But they get another team that's pretty good coming in that's been a nice surprise, who got a big win last night in the shootout after the TJ Oshie goal was waved off in overtime, the game winner for an offsides. But Arizona Coyotes go to St. Louis tonight, and money pretty much about what it was on the opener. Blues about $1.60, $1.65 favorite.
Yeah, it's typically not a great spot for a team like the Blues coming off a road trip, especially a very successful one. The problem with backing Arizona is 4-6 themselves, I believe, and 6-9. So that's not necessarily something that we want to really get involved with on either side, just kind of conflicting reasons to back either squad there. The one thing about St. Louis is, yes, they've won, 7 in a row, but 5 of them have come in overtime. If a couple of those coin flips go a different way, maybe we're seeing them a little bit differently, but it was really impressive how they went through Western Canada and collected 6 points in 3 games. That's something that most NHL teams aren't able to do.
And yeah, if I were to play this game, I don't want Coyotes full game because
sure.
They're having problems in the third period anyway. They seem to be wearing down, and back-to-back, this is tough. But first period, I think you can make a case for Arizona. They're going to be flying mentally after. That was a great win last night. They blow a 3-0 lead. Then it looks like they've lost in overtime. The replay takes the Washington goal off the board, and then they win the shootout. I can see the Coyotes coming out with some jump in their step for a period, and you're getting a pretty good first period price.
Absolutely. It makes me feel like you read our post today. That was one of the opinions we had with the Coyotes in the first period. It makes sense. I mean, the Coyotes, we backed them in Calgary the other night on, I think it was on the second night of a back-to-back as well, and they got the money for us there. You think if fatigue's going to show for Arizona, it'll show as the game goes along. They're riding high, like you said, off last night, and the Blues come home, and, you know, when you come home from a road trip, maybe you're just kind of like getting reacquainted with the family and friends and stuff that you haven't seen for a little while, and you're not maybe bringing full focus right from the opening faceoff. So I would agree with that that opinion on the Coyotes. That looks like a good way to back them.
It's something I factor in. I'll get your opinion on this. The Coyotes might have the least significant home ice advantage in the league because they, you know, not a lot of people show up, and when they do, they're often rooting for the other team. It's just one of those locations where there's a lot of people who live there who are from elsewhere and root for the team that their roots are from. But that, in a way, makes them have a road advantage, if you will. At least I that's the way I perceive them. And the numbers have borne that out. They're a really good bet on the road, not so good at home.
Yeah, maybe that'll change when if Austin Matthews comes back to Arizona. Let's hope not, as a Leafs fan. But they play the kind of game that wins on the road. It makes sense, right? I mean, they're keeping scores low, and they're just trying to grind it out and pull one out at the end oftentimes. So, yeah, that's a good observation. And like you said, I think they're 4-4 at home, and six, they got points in 8 of 10 on the road, I believe, this year. So, yeah, playing away from home doesn't faze them.
I'll throw a will happen or won't happen at you. I think Arizona, within 3 years, will move to Houston. I mean, Houston's a better market, and we know that city goes nuts for a winner. And I just don't know that the Coyotes are ever going to work out down in Arizona. I'd love to see the NHL move the team to Houston.
Interesting. Is that a rumor? I hadn't heard that, but...
No, it's my rumor.
I mean,
Houston is a market the NHL needs to be in. You got a great built-in rivalry with Dallas, and Houston is a fantastic sports town, which, no offense, Phoenix, but Phoenix is not a great sports town.
No, agreed. Not like the Coyotes have given them that much cheer to cheer about either. And then, like we said, just kind of playing that kind of boring style. It's actually I've maybe kind of changed my mind on the Coyotes a little bit this year. They've always been a franchise that I just kind of couldn't stand. It was like, let's just get rid of them. They're useless, you know, getting supported by the league all the time and stuff. But I'm coming around. I like this team. I like the way that they play. So I don't know. It'd be interesting, I guess. Two teams in Texas, that would be, right? That would be a great rivalry with Dallas, because hockey has done well in Dallas, that's for sure.
Yes, it has. And I guarantee it does well in Houston, too. John and Derek run NHL Tips. The website is nhltips.ca. You can follow them on Twitter at, I think it's just at NHL Tips. Is that right?
I believe it's at nhltips_.ca. Is that...
Well, you know what?
Yes. NHL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know your handle better than I do. It's on my it's on my favorites list, so I just kind of click to it. But nhltips_.ca, it's a really good follow for hockey. Thanks, John. Appreciate having you on. Let's do it again sometime.
It was a pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Marco D'Angelo with the Wager Talk Marquee matchup next.
For more angles and information, follow Ralph Michaels at CalSportsLV on Twitter.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk Marquee Matchup of the Night with Marco D'Angelo. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
It's $2 Tuesday at Wager Talk. We'll find out who the $2 Tuesday handicapper is. And we'll talk some NBA as the main event, the Marquee Matchup tonight with Marco D'Angelo. Hi, Marco. How are you?
Doing good, Dave. How are you guys doing?
Good. And I understand that you have decided to go to the Lakers matchup with the Phoenix Suns tonight for the Wager Talk Marquee matchup.
Yeah, you got the Lakers playing tonight at Phoenix. A very surprising Phoenix Suns team. Off to a good start, Dave. Phoenix off to a 6-3 start straight up. But here in Vegas, we're a little more concerned about the ATS, and they have rewarded their backers to the tune of 8-1 against the spread this season. So one of the point spread darlings out of the gate. Lakers will have Anthony Davis in the lineup tonight, but he's not 100%. Got a banged-up shoulder. He is probable for tonight. And the Lakers find themselves in the middle of a four-game stretch in a six-night period, Dave. They play tomorrow night, which normally would be a big game to be looking forward to, playing the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
That doesn't have the same draw that it had last several years.
No, it does not. And by the way, they've been renamed. Jeff Sherman came up with it, and we're going with it. They are now the Santa Cruz Warriors.
Okay, we'll go with that. Phoenix, the surprise has been last year, this was a team. We saw some flashes of talent with the roster that they had, especially Devin Booker's taking that next step. He's having a great season so far. 25.8 points per game in 34 minutes. But what they've done, first-year head coach Monty Williams has got this team buying into a system, and they've got some veteran leadership. Their addition, I love the addition of Ricky Rubio. You know, yeah, he might be at the backside of the career, but he adds stability to a young ball club, and that's something you need if you're building a team for the future. And I like what they're doing here, playing at home. I'm going to go ahead and give them a shot, Dave, plus the points here. And, you know, I never use it as a reason to take a game, but I do use it as a reason to support something I already like. And if you've been watching the betting board today, the ticket count is just coming in Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. And why not? You've got a number where it's three. Basically, you're talking about figuring just win the ball game, you're going to cash your ticket. And with a team with the big names of LeBron and Davis, and being a team that is bet here in Vegas anyways, the Lakers, you would expect to see some movement on that line. I'm looking across the board, and this thing's been three all day long. A couple books here in town, a couple that I respect, have it at 2.5 as well. That's a good sign telling me that there's money coming in on the underdog here, significant money to keep this line from bumping to 3.5. I'm on Phoenix tonight. Let's get the upset with Phoenix plus the points as the marquee matchup.
And let's stay on the Lakers for a moment. Are we getting back to the point now, because the Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis, and you know they look like they're going to be serious contenders. When the Lakers are in that role, there is always a bias in the line, and it actually behooves bettors to look for spots to go against the Lakers, because that's where the value actually is.
Oh, absolutely, Dave. You're always going to pay a premium for them. And like I said, especially the indicators are when you get these games where the line is small, where it's just basically pick the winner, the average Joe is going to walk into the sports book. He's going to look up at the betting board, and he's going to see the Lakers and see a number of three or less and say, wow, man, Lakers just got to win. How easy is that? And that's the way that they look at things. And I love to find the spots to take a live home dog. You know, it's a Tuesday night. How excited are the Lakers going to be to travel into Phoenix to play when, even though it's still not the same Golden State Warriors, but it is the name. And I think the first go-around this year, when teams play the Warriors for the first time, they've been tired of the Warriors beating up on everybody for the last how many years. I think they're going to get their pound of flesh, each team, and enjoy, you know, running the score up when they can. So it won't have the luxury, you know, the draw factor that we've seen before with the Lakers-Golden State game. But I'm sure the Lakers are going to have a little bit of fun putting a whooping on Golden State, a little bit of payback for the last few years. So that's a spot where I'm going to go ahead and take the home dog here when the Lakers got a bigger game tomorrow.
Marco, Tuesdays at Wager Talk, one of the hot handicappers posts selections for $2. Who's on today?
Yeah, we've got Tony Finn on there today. You can pick up Tony Finn's play. He's been doing very well in the NFL, and you can get a play from him right now for $2. And then we always do on Tuesday, when you buy that $2 special, inside that play, you're going to get coupons and special offers for somebody else. And that somebody else is Brian Leonard, who's been tearing it up. So you'll get a special offer for him as well. So check that out. We do it every Tuesday, Dave, at both Wager Talk and Sports Memo. It's a great way, if you've never tried the site, to try a handicapper, buy a pick for $2, Or if it's a capper maybe you haven't tried before and you always thought about it, well, hey, no better time than for just $2. You can't even get a cup of coffee for $2, Dave.
Well, I can, but you know, but what?
I know you drink the snooty coffee, Dave. You're not. I get
the senior citizen discount at Dunkin' Donuts, so I'm in there for less than $2. You can probably get
right,
Marco. Thanks. You can probably qualify for that too. So you know, go ahead and go for that. Thanks, Marco.
Hey, no problem, Dave.
Follow Marco D'Angelo at Marco in Vegas. Lions Physical Therapy Play of the Daytime.
It's the LPT Play of the Day. Tonight's best bet from Lions Physical Therapy. Your 5-star rated specialists.
All right, I think I already talked about mine. I like a split play on the Vancouver Canucks. Half the play on the first period, half the play on the full game. Vancouver against Nashville. Wes, you got one?
Yeah, let's go. It's a small money line favorite on the road near your neck of the woods. We're going to go off Northeastern. They're laying about two and a half. They're at UMass tonight. Got the win over Harvard to start the season, about minus 140 on the money line.
Yeah, I think they're not playing UMass. They're playing somebody else.
No, right? Northeastern's at UMass tonight.
Oh, they are?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm wrong. And we're done. Coke Brothers Company's next. Have a great Tuesday night. See ya.